Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Agricultural Commissioner Nikki Fried successfully campaigned on these issues, weed, weapons, and water. Commissioner Fried has appointed a new director of cannabis and has been a staunch advocate for smokable medical marijuana, penning an op-ed for it in the Broward New Times that came out just last week. She's also appointed a new director of licensing to oversee the state's concealed weapons permitting program. Commissioner Fried joins us now to discuss these topics, and we'll get into the state's water woes as well. But we want to take your questions. What would you like to hear from Commissioner Fried on these key issues that she campaigned on? Give us a call, 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. You can also tweet us or Facebook message us at WLRN Sundial. Commissioner Fried, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Let's start with this. Help us understand why access to smokable medical marijuana is so important compared to the other forms of cannabis that are currently available.
You know, the reality is that every patient is different. You know, just like when you go to your doctor and you get a certain percentage of a milligrams for a prescription, and sometimes you have to go through two different types of cholesterol medicines to get it right. Same thing happens with medical marijuana. Every patient is different. Every person responds to medical treatments different. And so sometimes the natural flower in the purest of form is what helps some of our patients, whether it's to be able to smoke it, but more importantly, some of them are juicing it. And so we need to make sure that we are giving our patients the most amount that they can get for deliverable purposes to help with their conditions. And we're not doctors. You know, I'm not somebody who believes that we should get involved with a doctor-patient relationship. And if a doctor feels that's what's best for their patients, then who are we to stand in their way?
Of the proposals that are in the Florida House and Senate, I mean, would they change the qualifications of who can access smokable medical marijuana?
You know, the bills are moving through both the House and the Senate, and every single time, if anybody ever knows the legislative process, every committee stop, there's new amendments and new things that are put into the bills. So currently in its form, they haven't necessarily limited the patients. They put additional restrictions inside for which patients and what the steps they need to go through. So again, I've been a big advocate of not standing in the way of patients getting their medicine. So any unburdened and undue restrictions on any of our patients, I would be opposed to. So hopefully the legislature listens to the will of the people and to the request from the governor to get this right.
Again, we're talking with Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried. We are talking about issues with smokable medical marijuana. We're going to be talking about guns and water woes as well. We'd love to hear from you. What question do you have for the commissioner? 800-743-9576. That's 800-743-9576. You can also tweet or Facebook that question at WLRN Sundial, and we will post some of those to her today. Commissioner, Governor Ron DeSantis has given a March 15th deadline for legislation to arrive at his desk on this issue of smokable medical marijuana. Have you had conversations with the governor about this and, you know, where you think this is going?
I have not had personal conversations with the governor, but I know that members of his staff and mine have definitely had some communication. We're still, all of us are hopeful that the legislature gets this right by March 15th and gets something over to the governor's desk to sign. And then it'll be up to the governor, depending on, you know, whether or not they put some undue burdens in there for restrictions on patients, whether or not he signs the actual bill or he just drops the lawsuits, which he still has power to do.
And you said get this right. Well, for you, what does that mean?
That means that our patients that are wanting the smokable flower in its purest form have access. And so that means that if a patient and goes to their doctor and they put them on the registry and they choose to have the raw flower as their delivery mechanism, they have access to it. And not having additional restrictions of panels or two doctor visits, which is just more costly and burdensome for the patient, but to make this as seamless of a process just as they were getting any of the other deliverable mechanisms for the marijuana program.
800-743-9576, 800-743-9576, if you have a question for Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried. Commissioner, you recently appointed Holly Bell to be the new director of cannabis. Tell us about her background and qualifications for this position.
Absolutely. She comes from a business background first. She was in the banking industry for many years, and then has gotten involved in the cannabis space and the hemp space. Was involved with some of the banking issues for the last few years, trying to work with banks, getting through regulations so they can bank with the marijuana industry. And then recently, she's been up in the state of Tennessee, working on creating the hemp program in Tennessee. So felt that she had the vast array of responsibilities and understanding of the industry, not only the banking side, which, as you know, for anybody who knows what I went through during the campaign, that two of my bank accounts were closed down because of my advocacy for medical marijuana expansion. So she knows how those moving parts go. Then she has experience in creating a hemp program. I keep saying too that it's not just enough to create a hemp program in our state that our farmers can grow it, but we also need the business community involved and making sure that we are creating the economic growth and the jobs here in our state. And so she kind of brings all of that knowledge and expertise into the state. She has an ag economic degree from Purdue University. She grew up on a farm, so she understands the farming and ag side of this, and is going to be someone who's going to spearhead and be a champion for the people.
And something, a couple of things that you hit there. Let's start with the banking aspect. I mean, isn't this going to have to be on a federal level that would allow banks to do business with in this industry? Because that's really kind of the difficult part. This industry has to work on cash because banks won't touch it.
Yeah, and that's exactly, you know, so we are seeing some federal legislation that's going through there's a House bill that's for banking currently up there that they had the first hearing on it last week. So this definitely is a federal issue, and hopefully Holly and myself will spend some time in D.C. lobbying on it. But it also, we have our state chartered banks, and so there's an opportunity here in our state, speaking to you know, members of the cabinet, and we're going to be having a new director of the financial regulations, and a lot of this is going to go into their regulations and the way that they oversee of our state chartered banks. And so hopefully we can also start to loosen up some of those regulations and in our constitution. And let's be frank, the voters voted for it, put it in the constitution, and so it's up to us to defend the constitution. And that means all of the auxiliary support, that's the landlords who are going to be, you know, leasing out property to the dispensaries, that's to the banking, that is, I mean, everything goes into it, the doctors, the patients. We need to be protecting them, considering that's in our constitution.
And, you know, we talk about Holly Bell, this new director of cannabis. There have been criticisms of Bell from longtime medical marijuana advocates in the state of Florida. You know these well. They say that she's coming from outside of Florida, doesn't have enough experience to manage this kind of endeavor. Why did you decide to pick Bell? And I mean, how do you say, what are you saying to critics?
I'm saying that just what I've said earlier, that she has the most experience, has national relationships to bring in here to the state, that knows she's not from Florida, but her family is from Florida, her husband's family here. She spends a lot of time. She has, like I said, the vast array of experience from the banking side, from the cannabis side, the hemp side, and the business community. And being a head of her banks, you know, she was on the leadership and executive team of banks before, overseeing staff and personnel. So she is highly qualified, and somebody that I have complete confidence is going to come in with the right approach and the right acclimate to make sure that we are truly the national and international leaders in hemp, the gold standard as we kind of move through this process. And already she's been in here 2 weeks. She's won over most of those activists who have met her and talked to her and have realized that the choice that I made was the right choice for the state of Florida.
All right, I want to go to the phones now. Again, if you have a question about smokable marijuana, we're going to be talking about guns. We're going to be talking gun licensing. We're going to be talking about water woes as well. If you have a question for the Ag Commissioner, please give us a call, 800-743-9576. Let me go to Jorge in Miami. Thank you so much for waiting.
Hi,
Yeah.
I think a topic that you guys haven't touched on yet, and I think it's very pertinent, and we as a people of the state of Florida should demand the right to be able to grow our own. I mean, when you're talking about access to clean medicine, free from violence and accessible to all, the discussion of being able to grow your own, it's a plant that you can plant. The first time the amendment didn't pass was because of Big Pharma. So I think we need to wisen up and push as many buttons as we can and try to make that happen. So I look forward to hearing your comments on that question.
Jorge, thank you so much for the call. Help us understand, Commissioner, you know, what's going to change also, or what might change on how many different groups can grow it, who's going to be able to grow it?
Yeah, and I think what he was, thank you, Jorge, for that question. And you're right. I talk about all the time that it's not just about access to medical marijuana, it's about affordable access. And so when we talk about affordable access, that means having more growers, that means having medical, Medicaid, Medicare, health insurance are covering those costs. So it's important that we expand the marketplace because once the marketplace expands, then that's when prices drop because there's more competition. So currently we have 14 license holders. I have also called for, right now we're vertically integrated, which means that these 14 license holders are the only ones who are allowed to grow, manufacture, dispense. And I've called for us to start looking into whether or not that's the right approach because I do believe that a lot of our small local farmers, our small local businesses, our minorities have been excluded from the program. And that is unacceptable. And so we really need to be focusing on how to get more people into the industry, how to make sure that we're reducing the cost for these products, and making sure that, as we go through this and on the home grow, that is in the court system. I know that there has been, I think it's on the appellate side at this point too. So Governor DeSantis does have that option to drop that case as well. I believe there's oral arguments that were presented last week. But I, again, it goes back to the access and affordable access and more growers, more people involved only makes it a better product that's for everybody.
Let's go back to the phones. I want to go to John in West Palm Beach, who's been waiting. John, welcome to the program.
Hi. I was wondering how soon we might be getting access to edible marijuana, because I feel that there's probably a lot of people like myself who have very sensitive throats, and it's tough to smoke. Like, I get bronchitis a lot, so it's, I would really appreciate if we could have it in edible form.
All right, edible form. Again, is this just a matter of the access you were talking about, or what is available?
Yeah, so you are right. Edibles is going to be something that we are pushing heavy for. It is in our state statutes to allow for edibles. What the hiccup has been is that previous administrations have not put out the rules associated with edibles. We have, in fact, on the 4th of this past month, did our first workshop. We are planning on putting out our set of rules in regards to the processing and the kitchens associated with edibles. The Department of Health is supposed to be doing the latter part, but we may be taking a more proactive approach to that as well. Edibles to the marketplace as soon as possible is on the top list of my priorities.
Again, we're talking with Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried. Since starting the position in January, Fried has advocated for access to smokable medical marijuana and appointed a new director of cannabis to oversee the state's medical marijuana program. She's also been busy addressing the state's concealed weapons permitting program and tackling the water crisis. We want to hear from you. The number is 800-743-9576. You can also tweet us or find us on Facebook at WLRN Sundial. We can keep taking calls on that issue, but I wanted to move over to you recently appointed Stephen Herm to be the new director of licensing for the state. And we should mention this is the husband of former Congresswoman and Democratic gubernatorial candidate Gwen Graham. How will Herm address the permitting process of concealed weapons? That was one of the key aspects of the job that plagued your predecessor, the Adam Putnam administration.
Yep, absolutely. Our goal has always been throughout the campaign, and certainly now once I'm in office, is to ensure that thorough and complete background checks are performed. And so part of that is streamlining the program, making sure that sworn law enforcement officers is part of the process, and basically fixing the problems that were within the division and learn from the department's mistakes. We saw that there was a significant amount of part-time employees who were reviewing these applications. We are asking for the state to allocate another 77 positions full time for us to put this process. And a lot of it was because law enforcement was not involved. There was an impossibility to double check what was coming in from FDLE and to the FBI. So having Stephen in there, who is a sworn law enforcement officer, an attorney for 30 years to lead this, helps to streamline that process, get the right information to the people who are reviewing the applications, and getting answers to the people who are applying as soon as possible.
And
Already within the first 5 weeks, we've been able to cut down the wait time for our applications, and that is just basically because of personnel changes.
And I'm wondering, Commissioner, have you spoken to, or have you tried to speak to, or do you care to speak to the NRA?
I have not spoken to the NRA. I do believe probably at some point that we will have some conversations, but that certainly has not been a priority. You know, because here's the thing is I'm not anti-gun. I'm not anti-Second Amendment. In fact, I have my own concealed weapons permit. But we're trying to show that slow the process of acquiring and make sure that we're not just slowing down the process of actually acquiring the concealed weapons. And so it's going through that process. So I'm hopeful that the NRA is seeing that what I'm doing is in best interest of the state of Florida by streamlining this, making sure that we're going through the process adequately and in a timely manner.
So you're from the Broward County area, and you have some close ties to Marjory Stoneman Douglas community. Last week marked the one-year anniversary, of course, of the shooting in Parkland. But I'm wondering if you've had any conversations with the students, the activists, anyone from the community about the issue of guns and gun control in the state of Florida as we're about to enter another legislative session.
Yeah, of course. I speak to a lot of those students. I mean, what they went through a year ago and how they took their pain and made it into, a mission of theirs to change the way that the country sees, guns and more importantly, responsible gun ownership. And Fred Guttenberg was one on my transition team, who was one of the parents who lost his daughter on that day. And so talking to them on a normal basis is, something that we're doing. We, in fact, I put forth a resolution in front of the cabinet to have the lights on last week turn orange to remember and those lost, the families that are suffering, because they cannot have been lost in vain, that we need to be looking at things to keep our children safe and to go through the process. So we are making sure that that's a priority of ours to, basically make sure that we're continuing conversations with them and making sure that our state is safe by what I can control, which is the concealed weapons, the licensing in my department.
Do you think that the legislature needs to have that conversation about guns? I mean, last year it took the tragedy for the activists, for the students, to go to Tallahassee and basically, bring lawmakers finally to discuss it and then pass a law. Do you think that it's a conversation that needs to be had again?
It's a conversation that always needs to be had. Healthy debate on these issues. And that's why I've always said my concern about the NRA is that they stifle this debate. And so having the students and having the legislators and trying to come up with what is the right solution for the state of Florida. And when you have undue influence from organizations like the NRA, it stifles the ability to actually have this healthy debate. So I'm looking forward. I'm sure there'll be legislation that's come forth for this session. Looking forward to legislators, having this healthy debate and trying to not wait for another tragedy to happen in order for us to take proactive measures.
Do you and Governor Ron DeSantis have any common ground on this issue?
To be quite honest, I've never heard of the governor's priorities on this issue. We haven't obviously spoken about it. I know that he has personally gone down and met with the parents and gone down and talked to them. You saw that, his issues, removing Israel from office, the sheriff in Israel. So I'm assuming that, he's going to be proactive on some of these issues as well. He and I, though, have not had any conversations in policy related wise, though.
All right. I want to go back to the phones. And again, we're talking about concealed weapons permits. We're talking about gun issues. We talked about smokable medical marijuana. There's plenty of questions to ask the commissioner. Let me go back to the phones. I'm going to go to Terefa in Miramar, and she wants to ask about marijuana. Terefa, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'd like to ask the commissioner, I'm glad to hear the conversation about gun safety related to parents. I am a parent related to students, and I am a parent of a high school student. But I'm also concerned about the accessibility of marijuana and hemp on all these substances to students and what, with an increased accessibility, what is the concern of high school students or younger people having the accessibility and using the substance as well.
All right.
It is just a lot more accessible.
Terefa, thank you so much for the call. So if we make it more accessible, the fear, that is one of the concerns, Commissioner, you've heard, the fear it'll be easier for young people to get their hands on.
Well, I think it goes back to, you know, we're not saying that to go sell this in the convenience stores. You know, there are, you know, significant amounts of restrictions, including making sure that, you know, only adults have access to the smokable medical marijuana, making sure that the dispensaries is on to the regulations and making sure, just like a liquor store, unfortunately, you know, and when you go into a liquor store, it's 21 and up, and you have to make sure that, you know, hold the people who are selling the liquor accountable if they're selling underage. Same thing here with medical marijuana, is that you can, if you ever get to any of the dispensaries, they have a very strict process of checking IDs when you first walk in the door, and making sure that you're checking the registry, that this individual is actually on the registry, and that they're buying the amount that they've been actually allotted from their doctors. So these steps that are in place ensures that the program is not, and the medicine is not getting into the hands of the wrong people that are not on the registry or are minors. So it's making sure that we have law enforcement and enforcement actions to those who might be violating this and potentially revoking their licenses to distribute the medical products if they in fact are violating the rules. And same thing with hemp. Hemp is non-euphoric. Most of the stuff that we're going to be able to make with hemp is going to be industrial stuff, replacements of paper and plastic and other harmful things that are in our environment with the hemp product, which is not for human consumption. And on the human consumption side, it is non-euphoric and is looked at as like a vitamin or a supplement once we get it under regulations.
Let me, only because of time, I want to finish up with this. I want to change topics again one more time, because as you ran on the issues of weeds, weapons, and water, so let me get at least one question in about water. You know, we talk about the issues with the red tide and the blue-green algae. Now, that has subsided at this stage, but still something that we've got to deal with, you know, moving forward in the future. I wondered, you know, if you've had a chance to speak with the ag industry, because so much gets pointed at them. They play their role, but, I mean, you know, what's their concern? And, you know, they've been hit pretty hard the last couple of years by this and, of course, Mother Nature in general and the markets.
Yeah, I talk to the ag industry daily about all of this. And, you know, what people don't understand is that the ag community has been what's called best management practices, BMPs. They have enlisted, 95% of our ag community has enlisted these best management practices for nutrient runoffs from their land, water conservation. And so we are constantly working through trying to make sure that we are doing everything we possibly can to preserve and conserve our land. And our farming and our ag community are some of the best people out there to conserve our natural resources. So we are working together, and I'm hoping that the governor currently has a panel that is just on the blue-green algae from Lake Okeechobee. I'm hoping that he actually extends that panel to be a full blue ribbon panel on water as a totality, because that we're not necessarily impacting with the limited resources of just the Lake O. We have to be talking about everything that's happening in the springs and the coastal communities and sea level rising and climate change. There's so much else that's going on that's impacted by our water supply sources. So this needs to be a more comprehensive plan, and the ag community is ready to step up and be part of the conversation, because they do get blamed for it. And quite honestly, I can tell you that, you know, our horses and our farms were here well before, you know, the expansion of growth of population here. So I know that they are doing their part, and you know, believe that they should have a seat at the table to make sure that we're preserving our lands for generations.
We've been talking with Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried. Commissioner, always a pleasure. Thank you for the time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And, of course, if you've had a question for the commissioner, you have a comment, something that's concerning you, whether it's smokable medical marijuana, gun licenses, or the water woes that we face here in the state, find us on Facebook at WLRN Sundial. We got a post there. We'd love to hear from you. What are you thinking about? And these are questions that we're going to see if we can also continue to find answers for. Still to come, a Broward developer can now move forward drilling for oil near the Everglades. A lot of people are angry. What's going to happen? Coming up next on Sundial.